Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atammani al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man sara ala sabilihi wa nahjihi. Wa man istanna bi sunnatihi wa man ihtada bi hadihi ila yawmid din amma ba'd. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's allowed us, favored us, brought us to the most Mubarak place in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most Mubarak day, Sayyidul Ayyam, the most Mubarak day of the days of the week is the day of Jumu'ah. So Allah ta'ala has brought us to the most Mubarak place on the most Mubarak day. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He continuously bless us with this favor of coming to His home on the day of Jumu'ah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it such that the last day of our life in this world is the day of Jumu'ah. There is talk, and many times, especially amongst the youngsters, after what has happened, and there is a great interest now in weaponry, in terms of arms, etc. But I just wish to talk on some weapon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. There is no harm, in fact, for a Muslim to be acquainted, to be equipped, to be able to defend himself. This is something that is honorable in Islam. Islam encourages it to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man qutila duna malihi fahuwa shahidun." That person who happens to be killed in order to protect his wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given him, this person will be a shaheed. So this is not something that is disliked in Islam, it's something that is encouraged. But I just wish to speak on something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about some weapon that we got. And it's such a powerful weapon that doesn't need any type of financial help. It doesn't need any type of ammunition. It doesn't need any type of physical power from ourselves. It is a weapon that Allah Ta'ala has given us, and this weapon is the weapon of dua. Dua is such a powerful weapon. It is more powerful than the greatest atom bomb in this world. And it's more precise and it's more perfect even than the most precise missile that is there in this world. And this is the dua that Allah Ta'ala has given every one of us. And this is such that a person doesn't need physical strength. Sometimes when a person is sick, he's in the hospital bed, he doesn't have even strength to go to the toilet. He needs a catheter there to come or to assist him because he's unable to relieve himself. But dua is such a thing, doesn't matter whether a person is sick, whether it's the middle of the night, whether a person is unable, he's disabled. It doesn't matter. Dua is such a thing. Even if a man doesn't have hands, dua is such a thing that he can make it from his heart. And dua is something that permeates. It comes from the heart. And this is something, that weapon that Allah Ta'ala has given us. So this ayat of Quran that I've read, Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah is commanding us. Allah is saying, ask me, I will answer you. Allah is saying, make dua, supplicate to me, and I will answer you. When a person asks somebody something, there's either one of two things. Or generally, when we have any plan in this world, there's one of two things. Either a person has the intelligence to carry out, to execute the plan, but then his resources are limited. Every person's resources are limited. No person has unlimited resources. It doesn't matter how big he is, but his resources are limited. And sometimes a person has got resources, but he doesn't have the intellect. He doesn't have the wisdom to carry out the plan. So he can have all that financial capital, but how to carry out the business, what to do, how to execute, he needs a financial advisor. He needs somebody to help him, assist him along the line. Or sometimes a person has got all the intelligence, he's got all the degrees, but he doesn't have the financial muscle now to carry out the plan. So now he needs some type of financial assistance. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah azizun hakim, Allah ta'ala has all the strength, all the ability, and Allah ta'ala has all the wisdom also. So he has the full wisdom how to carry out his plan. So when a person is making dua, in Arabic it's called mas'ala, dua. Person is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all he's doing, he's taking whatever problems he got, whatever grief he's got, whatever worries he's got, he's taking it and he's putting it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you handle this for me. And now he's handing it over to the person that has got all the power, all the might and all the wisdom. So therefore Allah Ta'ala is saying, ask me, I will give you. And the next part of this ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. That person who shows attitude as far as my ibadat is concerned. The first part Allah is saying, ask, make dua. The second part of the ayat Allah is saying, that person that shows attitude, that person that shows disregard as far as my ibadat is concerned, that person is headed for the fire of Jahannam. Now we may ask ourselves, why is Allah Ta'ala saying in the first part of the ayat, make dua, and the second part Allah is saying, that person who turns away from ibadat? Ulama explain that ad-du'a mukhul ibadat. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that dua is actually the essence of ibadat. So therefore one type of ibadat is dua. So whether a person turns away from dua or he turns away from any ibadat, that person, the ayat of the Quran is talking about, now is headed for the fire of Jahannam. Now why is dua known as mukhul ibadah, the essence of all ibadat? Why is it liked so much? Because in dua you get something known as ajizi, inkisari, tadallul. A person is actually putting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his complete inability, that, oh Allah, I'm incapable, I'm unable to carry out, oh Allah, what I need to carry out. I'm putting my problems in front of you, oh Allah, you sort it out. There's no problem that is too big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest of problems that we find for Allah ta'ala, it is very, very small. There's one incident that is coming to mind, I'll mention it. That maybe about 30 years ago, one couple had come there to madrasa, to our ustad, and mentioned to him that we've got a child that is born, and this child basically is a cabbage, Down syndrome. There's no hope as far as this child is concerned. Now imagine, when any couple has got a child like this that is deformed, that doesn't have an intellectual capacity, the doctors basically say there's no ability that this child has got, how it affects the parents, all that hope and all that desire they had of a normal child, and suddenly they are faced with this. So when he came, my ustad mentioned this dua to him. This dua is actually from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not the dua itself, but how to go about making dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, ma min abdin muslimin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb illa qala al-malik walaka bi mithlin. O kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, there is no Muslim that makes dua for his brother in his absence, except that an angel calls out that for you be the same. So one thing we learn from here, the best dua you can make for your brother is in his absence. Why? Because there's a lot of ikhlas, there's a lot of sincerity in this, that a person is making dua, he's not continuously posting the dua on the group, he's making dua in the darkness of the night, he's making dua behind the person's back, he's making dua for his brother. Allah Ta'ala likes it so much that one angel is appointed that makes for you to be the same dua. How you are making for your brother, that angel is making dua that Allah grant him the same. You're making dua for good health of your brother, there's an angel that is making dua for good health for you. You're making dua for prosperity of your brother, Allah Ta'ala is appointing one angel to make dua for you also. So what he mentioned to him, what my ustad mentioned to him, he said, make dua for every child in the world that has a similar sickness, that Allah Ta'ala cures every child like that who has this type of sickness. So what will happen is Allah Ta'ala won't appoint one angel. Allah Ta'ala will appoint many, many, many angels to make the same dua for you, that your child must also get better. So he says, after 30 years, this person came back to him and he says, do you recognize me? He says, I don't recognize you so well, but your face I do, but not too well. He said, I was that person who came crying to you and telling you and explaining to you that we've got this baby that is deformed. There's no hope medically for this child. He's a cabbage. But I just want to tell you that from that time you told us to make this dua, we continued to make this dua. I'm just showing you the power of dua. That medically also things may seem impossible, but when a person puts his problems in front of Allah, nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, we made that dua continuously, we would make the dua that you asked us to make. Allah ta'ala not only made our child normal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the child a hafiz al-Quran, and from all the children we had, this is the most outstanding child. And from all the children that are involved in business, this child is the most prosperous. Became Hafiz al-Quran, and now he's involved also in dini khidmat, and he's like the zimidar in his masjid that he is working. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. Sometimes we lose hope. We think to ourselves that Allah ta'ala is not giving. Ibn Ata Askandari has mentioned that when we make dua, we are weak. We are still we are still progressing. What is better for us to do is make general du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make the du'as that are taught to us in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The general Arabic du'as, sometimes don't be too specific and don't lose hope that our du'as are not being answered. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when to give us, what to give us, how much to give us. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what a person should rather do is make those du'as from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mawlana Manzoor Nomani sahab rahmatullahi mentions, he said that the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are actually a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What du'as he showed us to make on what occasions, if a person just sticks to that, it's very likely that this person will become the wali of the time. Just by making the various du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us. An example, a beautiful example given, is like that 7-year-old child that asks his father for a gun. Now his father tells him that this gun is not good for you. But the child is saying, no, the gun is good for me. And you got so much of money, you're such a wealthy person, why don't you want to buy this gun for me? So in his mind, he's thinking to himself that this father of mine is a miser. He doesn't want to give me a gun, he's got so much of money, he's got so much of wealth. So the father explains to him that this is not good for you, but the child's intellectual capacity can't understand. He thinks he knows how to use a toy gun, so therefore he knows how to use a real gun. So anyway, this thought goes and he keeps complaining to himself that my father is such a miser. Anyway, when this child grows up now, and the father happens to pass away, the father passes away, and now he's going through the records of his father, and he sees and he notices in his diary that the father had one note there. One note written that on such and such a date, many years ago, my son was 7 years old. He asked me for a gun and I refused giving him the gun. But what I have done is instead, I've taken 7 million rand and I've deposited into an account for him. So this is what I've done. I've taken money instead, a huge amount of money, and I deposited in his account. When the child sees that and it strikes him that my father was not a miser. I asked him for something that cost 1,000 rand. He put 7 million rand in my account. I didn't even know about it. So ulama explain that when a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he can't see that dua being answered, don't lose hope in Allah. Allah is giving you something much, much better. When your eyes close and you see what Allah ta'ala has given you, you'll actually wish that every dua also was an answer. So much Allah ta'ala wants to give. So sometimes Allah ta'ala gives immediately. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives with a delay, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves what a person is asking for in the year after. So therefore we don't ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dua that Allah ta'ala has given us is something that is extremely powerful. Therefore 3 people's duas are always granted. And sometimes we fall in this category, but we don't realize that we're in this category. There's an opportunity for us to make dua. We wait sometimes for the 27th night of Ramadan or for the odd nights, or sometimes we wait for a big day. We don't need to wait for all these things. Dua is something a person can make all the time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the 3 people's duas are not rejected. One is a person, a father making dua for his child. Therefore, all the time we must make dua for our children. Take the advantage that the duas of a father for the child is always answered. And the child, on the other hand, must ensure that he's taking the duas of his parents. All the time take duas for the parents. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayh, when his father had passed away, then he mentioned to some satis, he mentioned to them, that it doesn't sadden me so much that the fact that he has passed away, but the thing that makes me most sad, the thing that saddened me the most is this door and this darwaza of dua has now been closed. That dua, that door of dua is the father, the parents, the mother. Take their duas whilst they're alive. So the first category is the parents. The next category it mentioned in the hadith is a person who is mazloom, the person who is oppressed. When he's going through any types of oppression, instead of swearing the person, instead of fighting with the person, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the one that can remove the difficulties that every person is going through, whether it was looting, whether it's by some type of other oppression, physical oppression, financial oppression, whatever it may be, person should turn to dua. The oppressed person's dua is not rejected. And the third person's dua that is not rejected is a musafir. How often we are traveling for various things, But do we ever take advantage of that opportunity that whilst I'm a musafir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that my du'as are answered. May Allah ta'ala, time is up, may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this great weapon that we all have, and that is this weapon of du'a. A Muslim should never ever lose hope. Such a weapon that Allah ta'ala has given us, that even if a person just cries out, and that is the real du'a, that he cries out from his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking, when you speak about Ismi Azam, that what is the glorified names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person should take when making dua. Ulama explained that this is the true Ismi Azam, that when a person is making dua, he must think in his heart that there is nobody besides Allah that can sort my problem out. Nobody else besides Allah. And then when he makes dua like this, then see how Allah ta'ala will answer this person's dua. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. One thing we should always do is don't test Allah by our duas. We're not there to test, but what we should do is we must trust in Allah. So rather than testing, we should trust Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq for making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.